give you some idea about how I'm feeling at the moment. The last time I entered this room was 1997. So I'm a little overwhelmed. Hare Krishna. Don't mind. A little different, to say the least. I feel like a mosquito who has just entered into a herd of elephants. What can I do or say? So you have to be merciful to me. Give me your attention, and may your receptive ears and hearts draw out from this mosquito-like heart something. Okay? Cooperation. Hare Krishna. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jnana timidandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun bilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
I think I just did. You don't need to say. So it's our great fortune and by the causeless mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that we have blessed with the association of His Holiness Keshav Bharati Maharaj. We all have read about him and his devotional service in Servant of Servant written by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. We can imagine what kind of times it would have been when the kind of book distribution used to go on. On one hand, there was Tamal Krishna Maharaj and the Radha Damodar bus party, and on the other hand, it was His Holiness Tripurari Maharaj and the airport book distribution party. And that time Keshav Bharati Maharaj was the coordinator for these things. Nowadays he is also working with Shivram Maharaj for writing various books on Krishna and Vrindavan, which we have realized through his prayers also. So let us welcome him very warmly by loudly chanting. Some car number MH01VA7649 has to be removed from the gate immediately because it is causing some disturbance. So please, some devotee. Jis gaadi ka number hai MH01VA7649 usse turant gate ke saamne se hata dene ki krupa kijiye taki kisi ko asuvidha na ho.
I'm a little overwhelmed, Hare Krishna. We hear a lot about how we should love Krishna. And we hear many dialogues of the devotees, expressions of that love for Krishna throughout the Vaishnava literatures. I was greatly fortunate enough to be recruited by His Grace Gopi Paranandana Prabhu to join the team to edit the English of the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which I'm sure you've heard of. And I came across a section in this book that was, to me, one of the most extraordinary sections in which we hear a dialogue in which Krishna explicitly expresses his love for the soul. And I think it's unique among Vaishnava scriptures, and therefore I would love to read it to you today. But before I do, I want to give a little background, set the scene for the reading. How many of you are familiar with this scripture, Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita? Okay, good. Not very many. So you need a little background. Hare Krishna. This book was compiled by Srila Sanatan Goswami. In the text itself, he admits that the pastimes included in this book were revealed to him. Siddhanta Goswami was very special. The senior disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, direct. And so exalted was Srila Sanatan Goswami that even Lord Chaitanya would take his advice very seriously. So much so that there's an incident in which Lord Chaitanya actually changed the course of his plans based on the suggestion of Sanatan Goswami. You remember this pastime. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan, he came to Ramakeli, the place where Srila Sanatan and Rupa Goswami's had their headquarters as the chief minister and finance minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah, then king of Bengal and Greater Bengal, greater than what is now called Bengal. And, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such a person, the supreme person, that everyone was attracted to him. And not just attracted to him, but anyone who saw him, even from a distance, would be overcome with ecstatic symptoms of pure love for God. And they would fall on the ground, and tears would flow from their eyes, and they would become ecstatic lovers of Krishna from that time on. Not just momentarily and then go off and do some nonsense. No, permanently. They were changed permanently, elevated to the stage of love of God, just by seeing Lord Chaitanya. So as he was going from Bengal and he reached Ramakeli, by the time he reached there, literally millions of people were following him. Just imagine a good percentage of Bombay, you know, following one person down the road. What a tumult it would be. What a scene it would be. So Sanatan Goswami, seeing this, he advised Lord Chaitanya, "My Lord, you're going to Vrindavan with millions and millions of people. How will you be able to get your darshan properly? How will you be able to relish the holy Dham in the way that you want?" Lord Chaitanya thought for a moment, and then he said, "Yes, you're right." And he turned around, and he went back to Puri. This was who Sanatan Goswami was. And when he actually did go to Vrindavan later, he met Sanatan Goswami on Dashashwamedha Ghat, Prayag. And there, he spent 2 months continuously instructing Sanatan Goswami you know, Lord Chaitanya did not write very much. He only wrote 8 verses, Shikshastaka. But he was teaching the essential truths and the esoteric truths of the scriptures extensively in his travels, in his preaching. So he empowered Sanatana Goswami to assimilate the teachings that he was giving fully. And then he empowered him to write literatures and sent him to Vrindavan to do just that, to compile Vaishnava literatures which confirmed all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings with reference to the revealed scriptures, and also to resurrect the holy places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan. The first book that he wrote as a result of that instruction was Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. When Shukadeva Goswami delivered the Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time to Maharaj Parikshit, when he concluded the recitation, there was a time, a period of time, before the snake bird came to bite Parikshit Maharaj to send him to the spiritual world. During that time, Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara, approached him. And she inquired from him what Shukadeva Goswami said. Now, this was an intense situation. You can imagine all the mothers in the audience. You can appreciate more than any one of us. Here's your son, and you know that your son is going to be leaving this world any moment. What an intense emotional experience. Most mothers would be overcome with emotion. Isn't it? Mothers. You cannot imagine seeing the son leave the body in your presence. It is unthinkable, actually. Unthinkable. And yet, here she was inquiring from her son, what did Shukadeva say to you? Parikshit Maharaj knew that he could leave at any moment, so he knew that he could not repeat the whole thing, the whole teachings. So what he did was, he essentialized the Srimad Bhagavatam into the Amrit, Bhagavatamrit. He essentialized the Bhagavatam into the essence of the Bhagavatam. Now, we know already from the text of the Bhagavatam and from other various places in the Puranas that Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas. It is the essence of the Vedas already. They have a saying in French, creme de la creme. Huh? So this Bhagavatamrita is the essence of the Bhagavatam. In other words, the creme de la creme of the Vedas. And it is delivered in such a beautiful way, highlighting and emphasizing the relationships that that devotees have with Krishna in different moods, and the relationships that they have with one another in those moods. It is an extraordinary scripture, so much so that Srila Prabhupada himself, I'm reading a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Srila Prabhupada, anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna, must read this book. So Parikshit Maharaj, in order to answer two questions from Uttara, the mother, his mother, told two stories. The first story comprises the first part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and it is a story of a journey taken by Narada Muni, that great liberated Shaktivesh avatar of Krishna, who is empowered with the bhakti potency, the power of devotional service. And he makes a survey of devotees from all over the universe in order to answer the question of Uttara, who among devotees has received the most mercy from Krishna? Who is the most intimate, the most blessed devotees? And I'm not going to tell that story because we'll be here for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And I don't have 3 or 4 or 5 days, so just bear with me. You can read the book. It's in the library. That's where I got this book, from the library. Hare Krishna. So the conclusion of the first part, of course, is that the Brajvasis have captured Krishna's heart with their pure, unalloyed love, unconditional, spontaneous, without a tinge of awe or reverence, fear. And then Uttara asked the second question. And her second question was a vast question. But the essence of it was, there must be a place that can accommodate such wonderful love of God. And Parikshit Maharaj was so overwhelmed and so overcome by his mother's questions, especially at such an emotional, surcharged moment, the time of his passing away from this world. He said, "My dear mother, no one has ever asked a question like this before. What to speak at a moment like this? All glories to you. All glories to you." And he chose to relate the story of Gopakumar, a young 10-year-old cowherd boy from Govardhan, who met his spiritual master in Govardhan, was given the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, and by the innocent chanting of that mantra, even though in the beginning he was not so learned and he was not so well-versed in the details of the science of devotional service, he embarked by the mercy of his spiritual master on a journey that took him throughout the universe. And finally ended in his entry into Goloka Vrindavan. He went through the major higher planetary systems, through the covering of walls of the universe, to the abode of liberation, to the Vaikuntha planets, and on to Goloka Vrindavan. And he related his story to his disciple, a Brahmana from Pragyatushpur, who was blessed by Srimati Radharani in the form of Kamakya, the deity there, a form of Durga. But Durga is an expansion of Radha. So she chose to give this mercy to this Brahmana. And the Brahmana came and met Gopakumar, and Gopakumar decided that he would tell his story of how he came to Krishna consciousness And in the purport, Sanatana Goswami comments that the story of how we come to Krishna consciousness is the most potent form of explanation, because it's something we've experienced ourselves. It's something that evokes the most intense enthusiasm in us. And when that enthusiasm comes out in our explanations to someone else, it lifts them up most efficiently, most powerfully. Normally, Vaishnavas do not like to talk about themselves. But in this case, it was pure devotional service, and Gopakumar told the story to the Brahmana disciple of his travels in search of the place where Madan Gopal, his worshipable deity, embodied by the 10-syllable Gopal mantra given to him by his spiritual master. Now, Gopakumar is a 10-year-old boy. 10-year-old boys, we have to put them somewhere else, you know, during the class, right? Because they have a tendency to be very restless. And they run around and yell and talk, and they can't sit still long enough to hear. And they can't understand even why they should. So, when Gopakumar met his spiritual master in Vrindavan, in Govardhan, his spiritual master blessed him that he could stay in that form of a 10-year-old cowherd boy and fulfill all of his childish curiosity, and at the same time be educated in all of the different subtleties of devotional service in his travels. Now, the place I want to read from is chapter 4 of the second part, Gopakumar's travels. And you may be surprised that I'm not going to read from the sixth chapter, which is when he actually enters into Goloka Vrindavan. But I'm going to read to you a section in which Gopakumar approaches for the first time directly the form of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu in Vaikuntha. And there is such a touching exchange between them. And there is a dialogue in which Lord Vishnu expresses his love for Gopakumar, which means the love for the soul, the individual soul, in such a poignant and emotional way. I think you will all be surcharged and enlivened and happy to know just how much Krishna loves us. Now, just a little background. As Gopakumar is coming to Vaikuntha, he's escorted by some Vaikuntha dutas that he met in the abode of liberation on his way to Vaikuntha. And they had paid their obeisances to him, even though they were great, effulgent, four-armed, powerful spiritual personalities from Vaikuntha. And he was just a small 10-year-old cowherd boy. But they came to him and they paid respects and they put their helmets. They all had these beautiful, you know, ornate, jeweled helmets on their heads. They put those helmets on his feet and they expressed their devotion to him, accepting him as more advanced than them, even though he was a young boy. And one of the things that impressed them the most was that Gopakumar, in his travels, had gone to Tapoloka, where the Tapasvis live, the empowered incarnations of knowledge, the four Kumaras. And there he had been given the privilege of seeing the depth of the meditation of these Tapasvis in Tapoloka. such depth of meditation that that they could change their own forms into the forms of the deity, their Ishtadevas, that they were meditating on. Imagine, you're sitting there, and your, you know, teacher is meditating on his Ishtadev, and all of a sudden his form changes in front of your eyes into the form of his Ishtadev. What would you think? Oh, this must be God? You bow down. How impressed would you be? You would never want to leave the company of that person, in the service of that person. But the nature of life there in Tapoloka is that they come together and they discuss these deep spiritual topics and share their realizations and exhibit these wonderful meditative states. And then they go away into their own places. Huh? And there isn't the same vibrant devotional atmosphere that he had experienced in other places where there's deity form and all the devotees are coming and doing kirtan and having this ecstatic experience of serving the deities and dressing the deities and having personal exchange with the deities. He began to miss that. When they all went to their caves or their kunjas or wherever they went to, he began to feel a little alone. And so little, you know, hesitation, little disappointment, little dissatisfaction entered into his heart. He chanted his mantra and he went on. So the Vaikuntha Dutas were very impressed with this. How a 10-year-old boy could not be so impressed with such an exhibition of yogic power and move on. How is this possible? Unless he was a great soul. So they instructed him. They summarized the teachings of the Tapasvis and Tapoloka. They explained how the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan, the Nam Sankirtan, was the actually highest principle of devotional service, because the chanting actually enters the ears and awakens the subtle body, which allows one to meditate deeply on Krishna. And without that empowerment of the holy name, without that empowerment of Nam Sankirtan, it would not be possible to have the states of meditation that he had seen and experienced. So they advised him, you please go back to Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, where you came from originally, where you started your journey. You want to go to Vaikuntha, we know this. We know this is your heart. We know the desires of your heart. We come to the material world regularly on missions to protect the devotees. And then they pointed out in the distance different parties, different Sankirtan parties of Vaikuntha Dutas going into the different universes. And he said, wherever devotees are, and I think all of us in this room have experienced at one time or another the protective nature of some unseen force that has protected us in our lives and allowed us to come to the lotus feet of Radha, Shishi Radha Gopinath. Is it not true? All of us have experienced this. This is the Vaikuntha Dutas. This is the mission of the residents of Vaikuntha. Some of them. They come regularly and they protect the devotees. But Krishna says in the Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashati. And he gives that wonderful service to his devotees, to protect his devotees. So Gopakumar went back to Goloka, to Boma Vrindavan, and there he had a spiritual experience by doing Nam Sankirtan in the Holy Dham, and he fainted in ecstasy, and he felt himself being carried away, and he woke up, and he found himself in an airplane. And who were there with him? Those same Vaikuntha Dutas. And they escorted him to Vaikuntha. So now that's where we pick up the story. Now I'm going to begin the reading. That was just the background. That was the background. Now, these Vaikuntha Dutas, as they were escorting Gopakumar into the presence of Vishnu along the way, they were instructing him various details of life in Vaikuntha. You should stand here. You shouldn't stand there. You should stand in this way. You shouldn't stand in another way. You should say this. You should not say this. You should offer this type of prayer. You should not offer that type of prayer. And in this way, it went on and on, because this is the nature of Vaikuntha. It's very much oriented towards awe and reverence, and opulence, strict rules and regulations. So Gopakumar says, "Yes, yes, 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 I'll do these things." And, you know, he's coming into the presence of the Supreme Lord directly now. He's already seen Mahapurusha, who's the incarnation of Krishna that presides over Brahmaloka. He's been with Lord Jagannath. You know, he's been with various other incarnations. He's seen the predominating deities of the coverings of the universe and their devotees and how they worship. He's had wonderful experiences. But he's never seen Vishnu face to face in Vaikuntha. This is the first time. So he's very submissive to the Vaikuntha Dutas, and he's taking it all in. Then, finally, they're coming into the company, into the vision of Vishnu. And they see him. He sees Vishnu sitting there, with all surrounded by the Vaikuntha Dutas and Vaikuntha residents. And such an ecstatic atmosphere, we can't imagine. We're reading from text 76, chapter 4. Part 2, Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Taddarshana nanda bodhena tesham vismritya siksham bhata parshadhanam gopala he jivitim itya bhikshnam kroshan adbhavam paribham badaya. This is Gopakumar speaking. Are you still with me? Okay? The fullness of this ecstasy, this sight brought on, made me forget what the attendants of the Lord had instructed me. I cried out again and again, "Oh Gopal, my life and soul!" And I ran forward to embrace the Lord. Digdarshini. Now this Digdarshini commentary is very special. It is the only commentary that is written by the author of the Six Goswamis himself, of verse by verse. So important, because this is the original teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He could not trust anyone else to comment. He did the comment himself. And this commentary has not been available in foreign language until this translation, 450 years later. All the scholars you can imagine in Gaudiya Math, no one could translate this commentary. It's the first time it's been translated in the English language. Because familiarity with not just the Sanskrit, but English deeply must be known in order to actually bring out from the Sanskrit all the thoughts. This is the great credit of my godbrother, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, such a great Sanskritist and great devotee. Commentary, Digdarshini. Having chanted the 10-syllable mantra of Lord Gopal for so long, Gopakumar was used to worshipping the Lord with natural spontaneity. And now he impulsively expressed his love in a way unusual for Vaikuntha. Forgetful of all ideas of awe and reverence, he ran forward with open arms to embrace his Lord. So he's breaking the rules. Text 77. Priste stitar bigyabadar dritashtair dino maha kakukulam prakurvan primatide kenabidi jitoham samprapyamoham nipatang tadagre. Some discerning attendants who were standing at the Lord's side held me back, and I was heartbroken. I cried out in helpless distress again and again, overcome by my own excessive love, and fell unconscious in front of the Lord. Utap tire eva balach chidhena samgyam pranito shunipata bignam samarjanena bibhavan kadabhyam netre prayatnat utamilyayam dve. With some effort, those attendants lifted me up, and after some time, I regained consciousness. I wiped away with my hands the flood of tears that blocked my sight, and with difficulty, I finally opened my eyes. Tabad dayalu padamena tena snehena gambiram ridusparena swasto bagach cha javena vatsit adyuchamanam shutavan bachoham. Then I heard the Lord. That best of merciful persons, tell me in a deep, gentle voice. And now we're going to hear the dialogue that I intended to read to you, direct from the lips of Lord Vishnu himself. Please come back to your senses, dear boy. Please come here quickly. Commentary, Digdarshini. From the moment Gopakumar fell unconscious, Lord Narayan had been calling to him. But Gopakumar was able to hear him only after regaining consciousness. The Lord also told him, please give up this reverence for me. Let's talk together as friends. Now this is very, very interesting. Because here's Lord Vishnu speaking to Gopakumar, who's calling him Gopal and coming towards him with spontaneous love. And what happens? Lord Vishnu reverts to his form as Krishna. He's in the mood of Krishna. He cannot hold that form of Vishnu, because the Lord is controlled by pure love. And he reveals himself to the devotee in the form that the devotee wants and cherishes the most.
Harshasya kastam padamam tato gato nityan mahon madagrihita ban muhu brashan ambibi padama priyasata samprapdita staryamata padho prabhoditaha.
I then felt the highest limit of joy. I danced all around as if seized by madness and stumbled about, but with great endeavor, the Lord's servants calmed me down, and at last I awakened from that trance. Commentary by Sanatan Goswami. Hearing those words from Lord Narayan drove Gopakumar apparently insane. In truth, however, this insanity was the perfection of clear consciousness. Sometimes when you're out preaching or you're dealing with the material world and you come in contact with great materialists, they say, oh, you people are just crazy. Isn't it? You people are all insane, dancing like mad men and women in front of these idols. But we should know that this is the real clear consciousness. You remember? It said that until Gopakumar was conscious, he couldn't hear. The Lord was speaking to him all the time. While he was in his state of trance, the Lord was calling out to him, but he couldn't hear until he gained consciousness. So it's very important that we live the instructions of the Gita, that we apply Krishna's instructions from the beginning of his teachings to us, so that we can revive our consciousness and have a consciousness that is eligible, that can actually hear Krishna. He's speaking to us all the time. He can speak to us through anyone, in any circumstance. We simply have to hear. And what is that qualification for hearing? Idam tu te guyatamam prabhaksham anasuyave. Freedom from envy. Krishna says, I'm going to explain these secrets to you, and I'm going to explain deeper secrets to you because you're not envious of me. Saivaya maya tejya yoga prokta puratana bhakto sime sakha chiti. These are the qualifications. To be Krishna's devotee, and not just Krishna's devotee, but to be Krishna's friend. Friend means you care. Friend means you put the other person first. You'll do anything for a friend, for a real friend. Rahasyam yadat uttamam. Rahasya means secret. It's a secret. This ancient science of devotional service is secret. It's an open secret, but it's a secret nonetheless because so few personalities in the whole universe can actually get it. So Gopakumar has attained the state of clear consciousness, Vasudev consciousness, and now he can hear Krishna speaking. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha, Svagatam Svagatam Batsa, Dishya Dishya Babhanmaya, Sangato Tratvadikshayam Chidam Utkantitenahi. The Supreme Lord said, welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I am fortunate, most fortunate to meet you here. For so long, I have been eager to see you. Huh? We're taught how we must become eager to see Krishna in order to advance in devotional life. What to speak of, go back to the spiritual world. We have to have complete eagerness. Now we're hearing from the Lord himself just how eager he is to see us. And why not? The Lord is the supreme person. Whatever qualities, whatever thoughts, whatever emotions, whatever we have in our hearts, he has. But he has them to the unlimited degree. So the desire that he has to see us is unlimited. It's inconceivable. He's in the heart of every single soul. He's in the heart of everyone. And yet every individual soul, he is so eager to see us. And if we knew that, if we actually knew that, we would run there. Commentary by Sanatana Goswami. Hoping to calm Gopakumar, the most compassionate Lord greeted him as a welcome guest. The Lord stated honestly that he had been waiting a long time for Gopakumar to come to Vaikuntha. Bahuni gamitanyanga janmani babata sake katanchit apyamai mayabhi mukyam kinchit akarina. My dear friend, this is Vishnu speaking. Touch Trinu. Listen up. Everybody who's listening, raise your hands. Okay, listen up. This is right from the Lord's mouth. My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all.
asmin asmin ihehaiva bhave bhavi madunmukaha ityashaya tabatyantam nariti tosmi sadyava.
For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he will finally turn his face toward me. Commentary. Even though Gopakumar had forgotten his Lord for many lifetimes, the Lord had never forgotten him. Sometimes we think, when there's some disaster in our family or there's some economic crisis in the world, well, you know, what kind of God, what kind of kind God is that? You know, what's he doing to me? Because it's all me, me, me. It's all about what's you know, making me happy. What my senses are going through. But here Krishna is revealing how he's feeling, waiting for us to return to him. Try to understand, Krishna has everything. He's the supreme owner, the supreme controller, the supreme friend, the supreme proprietor of everything. He needs nothing. If he has a desire, all the energies in the material and spiritual worlds, they run around like crazy just to fulfill that desire. No one can get this kind of service. You know, seven times a day, you know, food. How many husbands are getting this from their wife? Seven times offering a day. For 5,000 years. Huh? Forget it. What king has ever had this level of service? None. The evidence is right in the face, right in the nose. It's so clear. No one ever can get this kind of service. And they're thinking it's an idol? Anasuyave. This is from envy. It means there's envy of Krishna in the heart. When you're free from envy, then you can see this. Krishna never forgets us. He goes with us wherever we go. And he has to watch us do all of this nonsense. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sanavisto matak smritir jnana bapohanam cha. He's sitting in the heart and he's the source of our remembrance. He's the source of our knowledge and he's the source of our forgetfulness. We can't even forget him without being empowered by him. Imagine what position we're putting him in. We're thinking what kind of position you're putting me in, but what kind of position we're putting Krishna in. The only thing he doesn't have is the love of a few of us. That's it. That's the only thing he doesn't have. Therefore, he's most eager for that. But why doesn't he just give me the love? Because then there wouldn't be any love. Can you force another person to love you? Okay, now, you're going to love me or I'm going to blow your brains out. Does it work? No. Love is spontaneous. Love is voluntary. So Krishna, by his causeless mercy, he will not interfere. He will not interfere with our independent will to live separate from him. He, on the contrary, out of love, like a parent, will give the child whatever the child really desperately wants. Even if that thing may not be, the parent knows, ultimately the best thing for the child. Because the child is so desperate in need of it, the parents will give, isn't it? Parents, isn't it? The Lord wanted Gopakumar to know this and also to know how eager the Lord had always been to regain the association of his devotee. Chalam chana lebikinchit yinhad yam paripalayan nibandham svakritam brata anayam yatmanapadam. This is Vishnu speaking, continuing to speak. But I could find no pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created. So here we have a very, very interesting point. What we need, what do we need in order to transcend the influence of the modes of material nature? What do we need? We need intervention. We need divine intervention. Without divine intervention, it is not possible for any individual soul to overcome the complex, huge apparatus of the material nature. An atomic particle of it, which is represented in the whole city of Bombay. Commentary, Digdarshini. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, why didn't he simply find a way to bring Gopakumar to him sooner? This is the question. This is our doubt. This is the bottom line doubt in all of our hearts. Well, if Krishna loves me so much, why doesn't he just make an arrangement? Never mind what I'm doing. Never mind what I'm desiring. Never mind what I've done over, you know, millions of lifetimes, keeping myself separate. And like, you have a friend, he comes into your house, and as soon as he comes in, you turn your back. Like this. It's nice to see you. How have you been? Anyway, how would you feel? We're turning our back on Krishna for millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. What do you expect? But Krishna, he becomes so eager to see the soul sometimes that he breaks his own rules. The Lord establishes the laws of the universe, which are enunciated in the Vedas and other scriptures, and he chooses to adhere to his own restrictions. As long as living entities want to control and enjoy their own world, he does not interfere. Now listen to this sentence, please. Ready? Listen. Come back. Wherever you were, come back. Listen to this sentence. Only when they show, by calling out his names, that they want to return to him, does he again reveal himself. I was just listening yesterday morning to a conversation in France, Srila Prabhupada, some of his senior devotees, and he was saying this, that actually we need to love Krishna. And then someone asked the question, well, does that mean when we, you know, fall down, or when we go away, or when we have this, does that mean we don't want to love Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. That is the only problem. How much do we want to love Krishna? How much do we want Krishna? What percentage? How much for Krishna and how much for me? How much for Krishna, how much for my family? How much for Krishna, how much for my business? How much for Krishna, how much for my country? When it's all for Krishna, then he reveals himself. Then he makes the arrangement. It only requires desire. Not ordinary desire. Focused desire. Ekeha kudanandana, Krishna says. In previous lives, Gopakumar had never chanted the names of Lord Narayan, even unintentionally or in jest. This is a very important point, because we're thinking that it requires many, many lives, many, many births, bahunam janmanan manke, vanamam janavamam prabhajyate. We're thinking all these verses. But here, it's described that Gopakumar, he didn't, this is his first life. It's not that, you know, we need to go millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. No, we don't need to. You don't have to. You can go back in this life. You just have to hear and respond. This is what we're hearing and responding to. This is the problem. This is the problem. Had he at least vibrated a shadow of the Lord's name, he would have been delivered, like Ajamil. In any case, now Gopakumar is finally returning home. Now listen to this. Are you ready for more? This is not the end. We're just getting started. Tate mai akripang biksha vyagro nugraha kataraha anadim setum ulangya twajjanmedan akarayan. You showed me no mercy. This is Vishnu talking to the soul. You showed me no mercy, and as I considered this, I grew impatient. Full of anxiety to receive your favor. So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth as a cowherd boy in Govardhan. Srimad Govardhane tasmin nijapriyat bhaspade swayam evabhavam tata jayantakya sate guru. My dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. So now, the first time in the book, it's revealed the name of his spiritual master, Jayanta, and that he was actually Krishna. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, and he's worshipped as good as Krishna because he represents Krishna, because he's very dear to Krishna, because he's agreed to preach the message of Krishna without changing it with a pure heart. But in this case, Krishna himself came. The Lord does not interfere with the independence of the rebellious jivas. He mostly leaves the responsibility for reforming them to the Vedas and the Vaishnavas. And this is the message, dear ones. Lord Chaitanya's instruction to us all is that we all should become guru. That doesn't mean that we should, you know, try to replace our spiritual master. No, not. It doesn't mean like that. But it means that each and every one of us is meant to hear the Bhagavad Gita and then repeat the Bhagavad Gita to others according to our capacity wherever we are in life. Then we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and then all arrangements are made. Kamam dirgam tamam te medya chirat tvam samapurayaha swasyame pi sukham pushnan atraiva nivisakstiraha. This is the conclusion. Today, you have at least fulfilled the desire I have harbored for so long. This is Krishna speaking to the soul still. Please nourish your happiness and mine by staying here forever. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada told us, I heard him say it direct into my ear, now you've come to Krishna consciousness. Now just don't leave under any circumstances. Just don't leave. It'll get tough. You'll be tested. Just don't leave. Hare Krishna. Shri Priya Bhagavatam Vrita Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Go Hari Krishna Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. Any questions? I must have got something right. Yes, sir.
Hari Bol, thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful lecture. My question is that I heard we come from Vaikunth. We are Vaikunthavasis. We are non-resident here. We are come from Vaikuntha. So what was the cause that we fall down? Because there is no envy in Vaikuntha, or there is from wherever we came. My question is from where we come and why we come down if we are in the Vaikunthas.
He's getting right to the nitty gritty, isn't he? Right down to the big controversy. The seat's getting a little hot over here. Well, I can tell you one thing. I heard Prabhupada say directly, and I've also heard him say it many times, when he was confronted with this question directly. First of all, you can't trace it back. That's the first point. From our position as conditioned souls, we cannot trace it back. So the attempt to trace it back is something that is impossible to do. So when you try to do something impossible, what happens? You create a complex, more complex and more complex situation within yourself. We should know one thing. We're here in the material world, and we should take responsibility for that. Because this question, if you follow it through to the end, it comes to a point where, well, is it my fault or is it Krishna's fault? I mean, whose fault is this? You know, I mean, it can't be my fault. I mean, I didn't choose to come here. I mean, you know, there's no possibility of me, you know, choosing to come here. So, hey, it must be your fault. That's kind of like the general thing. And then there's, of course, a wide variety of arguments and intense emotions about this issue. But here's what Prabhupada said, okay? He said the soul by nature is very tiny in relationship to the whole, both in the spiritual and in the material world. The soul never loses his independence. And because he's very tiny, he's prone to fall. In other words, the tendency or the ability to fall is never taken out of the soul. The independent will is never taken out of the soul. How that happens, you know how Prabhupada defined it? And I know this may not satisfy everyone in the audience, but this is exactly what Prabhupada said. Somehow or other. That's how he defined it. Somehow or other. Because he didn't want us to go there. And when we tried to go there, he would say, what is your problem? You know, you're walking down the road, and all of a sudden you hear this very big thud, and you look down and there's an arrow in your chest. Huh? So what do you do? Do you start to calculate, you know, the... You know, get out... What was that I remembered in engineering school about angles? And maybe I can figure out who did this and how this happened. Is that very intelligent? No, you get that arrow out, you know, and you do something immediately on the ground. It's my experience. I had a nice conversation with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who we used to meet the last day of Kartik, every Kartik, on the roof of the Govardhan Ashram and talk until he became so big that I never see him anymore. But anyway, that's my misfortune. But during one of those conversations, we were talking about this and other controversial subjects, and we came to the conclusion that the persons who kind of rail on this issue and won't let it go and keep railing on it, even to the point of, yes, these people don't have it right, you have to know this or else, and all these things, they're actually looking to become the person or persons who have answered a question that no one has answered before, and therefore what? They will become the Jagat Guru. That's at the root of it. That's at the root of the desire of this question. Two, one is not to take the responsibility and to put the responsibility on Krishna. And the second is to get the answer in a way and give it to others in a way that they will worship me as Jagat Guru. That's it. Now the subtlety of this initial desire to be separate from Krishna is beyond our conception. It's beyond our conception. As conditioned souls, we cannot understand that. You can't understand it by logic. You can't understand it by argument. It's not possible. And you have to be satisfied with that. And Jiva Goswami says in the Sandarbhas that it is this acceptance, the full acceptance of the Achintya Shakti of the Lord, that allows us entrance into the understanding of transcendental subject matter. And then it has to stop. You know? At some point, when I was in Spain, they used to have this saying, si, pero, you know, si means yes, and pero means but. yes, but, that but has to stop. The but has to stop somewhere, Hare Krishna. They have a saying in America, the buck stops somewhere. That's a CEO, right? The buck stops here, you know. Well, the butt stops somewhere, isn't it? And when it does, then you have full surrender. And when you have that full surrender, Krishna will reveal it to you within your heart. It's all right? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, you have been residing near Govardhan for so many years.
Could you do please me a favor? Take some pictures. I want pictures of everything, including me sitting here. Okay.
Would you please tell some pastimes of Giriraj Govardhan for the devotees?
When I walked into this room, I felt extremely small when I looked in your faces and I realized what has been developing here since the last time I was here in 1997. I see a few old friends' faces, but most of you are, you know. And I honestly, I'm telling you this from the heart, I feel like a mosquito in a room full of elephants, you know. I feel very unqualified at the moment. So it's maybe true that somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who convinced me, it took him 6 hours to convince me, because I was so much averse to management after so many heavy experiences that I didn't want to oversee the refurbishment of the ashram and do the work. So, I mean, I can say one thing, and I've said it before, and probably some of you might even have heard it on one of the parikramas in which Radhanath Maharaj drugged me out and forced me to say something in public. But I have a realization, I think, about why the atmosphere in Govardhan is so pleasing to everyone. You know, I've lived there for 15 years now, and I can honestly say that everyone who comes there feels comfortable, feels at home. And I don't think I can say that about anywhere else to the same degree. It's extraordinary. You see, you know, whole villages come and pay Dandavat Prikrama together all the way around the hill. I mean, that doesn't happen anywhere else, you know. You see politicians going to Radhakund and bathing to pray for whatever, to win the election, or, you know. You know. You see young ladies just married go there and bathe, praying for a nice son, or, you know, students come there, you know, do Dandavat Prakrama to try to get the best, you know, score on their exams. Or, whatever. They come for so many reasons. So I was trying to figure this out. And this is my conclusion. It is that when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, all the residents of the Dham, except for the wild animals, they stayed up. And they were protected in another way by Krishna. But all the domestic animals and all the human beings, they came underneath the hill. And Krishna was standing there. And, you know, the mood of Braj is very confidential. And you got to go on that side also and take, you got to take from different, yeah, okay. And so everyone's reacting differently, right? I mean, not everyone can react the same. Everyone's an individual soul. What to speak of groups of souls who have the same mood and same relationship with Krishna in Braj. Everyone's an individual soul, and everyone was reacting differently. The cowherd boys and cowherd men, they were afraid that Krishna was going to drop it. So they all, you know, held their sticks up, you know, to try to, right? And, you know, the gopis were horrified because they thought, oh, what happens if he drops it and he gets crushed and we'll never be able to hold him again? This is unbearable. We can't tolerate this. And like that, everybody was having different... So Krishna, what he did was he exchanged openly in front of everyone his rasa with everyone. This is something that doesn't happen. In Nandagaon, you know, Krishna can openly have his exchange with, you know, Nanda and Yashoda and his servants and certain other persons, but not with Radharani and the gopis. He can't openly have that relationship. Can't show it publicly. It's not... But in this situation, he showed openly his rasa with everyone at the same time. And that changed the atmosphere of Govardhan forever at that place. And therefore, everyone, no matter what their relationship with this Krishna, they feel satisfied. They feel at home. Hare Krishna. Yes. I hope you're all not thinking that I have all the answers, because I don't.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the lecture. I have this one question, like, we have been hearing for the last many years that material world is a suffering and spiritual world is our ultimate home. We can understand this to some limit. But personally, I feel very difficult to relate when it is said that you might become, like, if you become Krishna's friend, it is okay to relate. But it is said that you can become a stone or a blade of grass, that too for eternity. So personally, for me, it is very difficult to relate, and I've been asking this question to many devotees, if you can help me.
Because you're thinking of the stones in this material world. Isn't it? Yes. You're thinking of stones or animals or grass or whatever in this material world. And therefore, you can't understand it. It's the same answer. It's a chintya. You can't understand it. But what you need to accept is that it is a chintya. And you need to accept that Krishna's energy is a chintya. You need to accept that in the spiritual world, all the forms are fully conscious and fully ecstatic in love of God. And they are experiencing tastes even greater than the gopis' experience with Krishna. By seeing Krishna and the gopis together, they're experiencing ecstasies greater than Radha and Krishna are experiencing. Therefore, Uddhava prayed, you just let me become a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that the gopis can come and step on me And I can get the dust from their lotus feet, the kumkum, you know, from Krishna's lotus feet on my head. But you're thinking in terms of the material nature. The stone is dull. It just sits there. Doesn't feel anything, doesn't have, you know, it just, how can I stay like that forever? No, it's not like that. It's completely different. The laws of nature are different. You can't compare the material world to the spiritual world with the same laws of nature. It's like trying to compare an apple with an orange. Why are you doing that? That's the question. The question is, why are you doing that? Isn't it? So you answer that question and then you'll be satisfied. Hare Krishna. There was one question here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your lecture. My question.
My pleasure.
My question is regarding this spiritual master and Krishna. What is the difference? Krishna was also having a spiritual master. And spiritual master, I want to know the difference. What is the difference? And who means Krishna also says that I also have a spiritual master. And what?
To clarify, what you mean by difference? What is the when you say what is the difference? You mean what is the difference between this and this? So I need to understand more clearly the question. What is the difference between what and what?
Difference between spiritual master and Krishna.
What is the difference between the spiritual master and Krishna? The spiritual master is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master is the servitor. The perfect servitor. By watching the spiritual master and listening to the spiritual master, you can understand how to serve Krishna. And Krishna, as said in this one purport, one commentary by Sanatana Goswami, that Krishna leaves that mercy to the devotees and the Vedas and the Vaishnavas. So they become very dear. Spiritual master is very dear to Krishna. Sakshat hari tvena samasta shastrayar uktastata bhavyate eva sadvihi kintu prabho ya priya eva tasya vande guru charanaravinda. We chant it every morning, Mangalarti. We sakshat hari tvena samasta shastrayar means we worship the spiritual master as good as Krishna. But the reason is given in the next line, Kintu Prabhu, ya Priya, because he's very dear to Krishna. Not that he's Krishna, one-to-one correlation completely. He's not omniscient and all-powerful in the same way that Krishna is. That's Mayavad. But because he's very dear to Krishna, then Krishna gives that the spiritual master the knowledge that he needs and the energy that he needs to understand and to explain things in a way that awakens love for Krishna. It's like the government is the, you know, powerful thing, and the policeman standing maybe just a common person. But if he says to the chief minister, stop, the chief minister has to stop. Because he's representing the government. The chief minister may be a bigger man than him. But that is the system. And Krishna, he takes the spiritual master to show us by example how important it is, that it's essential.
Uh,
But when Krishna, the difference is that when Krishna gave his dakshin to his spiritual master, he did something that no one else could do. He gave him his sons back from the dead. That was his dakshin. So we shouldn't imitate. You know, the spiritual master never thinks that he's guru. If the spiritual master thinks that he's guru for a moment, he's fallen. He doesn't have to wait. The spiritual master thinks himself the servant and acts like a master. That is inconceivable. It is not easy to do. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say, as it's the most difficult thing to do, to receive loving service as a service. Without thinking for a moment that you are the cause or you deserve it. Therefore, you can find so much, especially in India, you can find so many so-called gurus who will tell you that they're God. And you will find so many foolish people who will accept them as God. Gopakumar was so advanced that even though the yogi, the Sanata Kumaras, were actually changing their forms into the forms of their Ishtadevs, he knew that this person is not God. He wanted Marangopal. He wanted God. So the spiritual master, he teaches to be a servant of Krishna. He doesn't say, you come and serve me, and then everything's okay. No, he says, you serve Krishna like this, because Krishna says like that. That's the spiritual master. Not that he's taking for himself. Not that he's promoting himself or allowing others to promote him as Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was Krishna. But when they tried to say that you're Krishna, he put his hands in his ears and ran away. Because he was acting as a devotee of himself. So the devotee never thinks that he's Krishna. The disciple may worship the spiritual master and put him on a seat and do all services in the same way, but the spiritual master never thinks like that. And if he does, then what happens? Balaram will come with a blade of grass and blow you off the asana with a blade of grass. Something?
My question, that spiritual master, someone, someone makes some spiritual master, those who are, I want to say that, Prabhupada, can I make Prabhupada as my spiritual master or a living person?
We got a Rikthik in the crowd. He's coming out.
How to get a bona fide spiritual master? What are the qualities? How we can know?
I'll tell you how you know. You become submissive. You become submissive to Krishna. Because Krishna says that you must approach a spiritual master. Tadvidi panipatina pariprashnana sevaya upatekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshinaha. So first of all, you have to know something. If you don't know what the qualities of a spiritual master are, how can you know who to accept and who not to accept? Srila Prabhupada told us, and Lord Chaitanya told us, that all of us should become spiritual masters. That is the duty. That's all of our duty. So how do you, pariprashnena sevaya, how do you inquire from someone who's not here physically? If you go into it deeply and hear Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you'll find, there's a book, I'll recommend a book to you, okay? A book, it is called The Guru and What Srila Prabhupada Said. The author is, it's a compilation of Prabhupada's words, organized in a very nice way. All the things he said about Guru. The author is Virbahu Prabhu. And you read that book carefully, and you'll see the answers to all these questions. All the answers to the questions are there in Prabhupada's teachings. Have you read Srila Prabhupada's teachings? Then how will you know? How will you know? See, Srila Prabhupada, he's not just a Shaktiveda. I mean, he's just not a Mahabhagavat. He's not just an Uttamadikari. He's not just all the arguments about who's guru and who's not guru and what platform they're on or what platform they're not on. He did something that no one else could do. He did something that no one else could do. No one else could think to go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness without compromise. No one else could think to do it. That's called Shaktivesh. That means that very rarely will there be a spiritual master who has the potency to go out into the whole world, you know, and make devotees of Krishna all over the world. Alone. Without any, support. No friends. No government backing. No institution. No nothing. Just by himself. Alone. The austerities that he performed, we cannot imagine, actually. And no one else could. And not only that, it will never be done again. It can only happen once. So what did Srila Prabhupada say? You must know that. Srila Prabhupada is the Shiksha Guru of everyone in this movement. He's the eternal Shiksha Guru of everyone in this movement. But that does not make him the Diksha Guru. But we're thinking that there must be a difference between the Diksha and the Shiksha Guru. Therefore, I can't understand. But if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita and understand it carefully, it says right at the beginning, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, there's no difference between the Shiksha Guru and the Diksha Guru. Because the teachings are the same. They have this big debate going on in Christianity. I and my Father are one. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What does that mean? It means that I'm saying the same thing as the Father. And therefore what you're hearing from me is the same thing as the Father. So if you agree to give the teachings of Krishna without changing, with a pure heart, then you'll become guru. That's what guru is. But unless you know the teachings, or at least you know something of the teachings, you know, if you're completely uneducated, then of course you won't understand. You can't demand to see when you don't have the eyes to see. If you demand to see something that you don't have the eyes to see, it's like a child coming and demanding to know integral calculus. It's childish. Is there a Gita in the house? Let me see, that's a Gita. Chapter 4, text 34. Oh, sorry. You'll have to collect it afterwards. Here's a sentence in the purport to that verse, Tadbidi Panipatina Pariprashnena Sevaya. He says, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, are you hearing? You're hearing? Listen to this sentence. It's very important for you. Huh? Very important. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. This is an absurd inquiry. You're asking something that you don't, that you haven't, you're demanding that someone give you something or tell you something that you have not been willing to investigate at all yourself. Therefore, you're irresponsible. You must be responsible. Read this book. Take Prabhupada as your shiksha guru, and he will tell you that you need to approach a spiritual master. Gold is gold. Whether it's in India or America or Africa or Pakistan, gold is gold. If you don't know what the qualities of gold are and you don't know how to test it, you're going to get cheated. And someone will come to you and you'll come for the first day, first moment. Yes, do you want initiation? What do I have to do? Nothing. Just come here. Take initiation. Now you're free. Now you're liberated. Now you're great. Now you're this. Now you're that. But no. According to Shastra, you must be submissive. You must come to the point of chanting 16 rounds a day and following the regular principles strictly. You must be tested for a year at least. Then there's a question of seriousness. Unless you're serious, approaching a spiritual master is a waste of time. Both your time and the time of the spiritual master. What happens is when you ask this kind of question in an open assembly like this again and again and again, it brings out your childishness. No offense intended. So now you got the answer to the question. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to do something about it. To find out what Prabhupada said. The evidence of Srila Prabhupada's position is clear, crystal clear. But this Ritvik idea that you can take initiation from him directly when he's not here, what an absurd thing. Do you think you're not going to give him the chance to say yes or no? Spiritual master has to choose. He has to say, he has to agree to accept you. The present disciple is the future spiritual master. That is the system. That is the parampara system. It is an eternal system. There are always bona fide spiritual masters on this planet. Always. Sometimes there's few, sometimes there's many. The Ganga that flows from the Himalayas to the Bay of Bengal, sometimes it is very wide, sometimes it's very narrow, sometimes it goes underground even, sometimes it comes up. But it never stops flowing to the ocean. Is that something? Something? Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Guru Parampara ki
jai.
Gop Premanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.